Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
You know, our station here in Santa Maria has a great promotional talking about how in times past free speech was not looked upon so well as it is today. Off with the head. It's really a great spot. Aren't you glad you live in a country where you have freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of the conscience? You know, the right to speak your mind. But be ever vigilant, my fellow Americans. For there always lurks beneath the skin of certain fascist, smiley-faced progressives the spirit of tyranny. We are glad a Muslim can speak his mind freely here in the U.S. of A., and disgusted with the tyranny of Muslims in other countries where they inflict oppression upon their own and upon others. We are glad Catholics can speak freely in the good old U.S. of A. At the same time, we are ashamed of their record of oppression against free speech and liberty of the conscience in the past. Remember the Inquisition. I guess what I'm saying is this. I'm glad I'm an American. Where even a Baptist preacher, can speak his mind publicly, right out loud in front of God and everybody. Imagine that. A Baptist? Yeah, these guys were put in stocks and pilloried in Massachusetts, even Virginia, before Madison's Declaration of Rights. Now, really all over the colonies in the colonial period, according to actual court records, Baptists were ordered by law to be, quote, pelted with apples and stone, end quote. Yeah. One court document shows a case where a Baptist minister was, quote, dunked and nearly drowned by 20 men, end quote. Here's another where the court ordered a Baptist pastor to be, quote, severely beaten with a whip, end quote. Another ordered one to be, quote, jailed for permitting a man to pray, end quote. Imagine that. And the list goes on. Now, here's an example of how absolutely ludicrous a religious persecution can become if what I've already alluded to is not sufficiently ludicrous to make you, well, sick to the stomach. But the Baptists were resented, you know, because they preached against alcohol. And so one court ordered that a certain Baptist minister was to take a dram or be whipped. Now, a dram, that'd be a shot of whiskey. Like their famous progenitor, John the Baptist, who stretched his finger toward the face or in the face of another vain king, Herod, and publicly cried against his wicked sin. These Baptists were not shy about decrying the folly, foolishness, and wickedness of political, religious, or business leaders. And so these fellows conspired to contrive laws like, you know, you've got to have our permission. I mean license to speak. Yeah. Oh, they believed in religious liberty, all right, of course. They only just wanted to control who expressed it, when and where and how. This, of course, would be unacceptable to any pure-hearted, liberty-loving American today. And, of course, the few Baptists who went along with this farce discovered that they never could get a license. They were met with immediate refusal, and if not that, they were frustrated with endless delays or put off with this or that excuse because, of course, the purpose of the license, as is the purpose of any regulation, is to control it. A lot of people don't believe in free speech. They only believe in controlled speech. And I've got a newsflash for anyone listening to the Brain Massage Show. And those of you who get teeth grinding mad because I don't like the guy you like for this or that political office, or because I pile on certain political persons that I find perverse and dangerous to liberty. Well, I want to tell you right now, whether you like it or not, I get to have an opinion. Yeah, and guess what else? I get to express it publicly. So get over it. Sometimes questions come up about the fact that the brain massage, registered trademark, by the way, is sponsored in part by the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Some get worried I'm crossing some sort of line of separation because they are woefully ignorant of the law, and so are easily duped into thinking it's a muzzle on the mouth of Christians dismissing them from the public debate on political issues. They actually think churches don't have a right to sponsor shows like this because the show is quote, political, end quote. Really? Well, first of all, surprise, surprise, surprise. Churches are not banned from corporately expressing opinions on political questions that touch their vital interests. Some of you just don't know any better, but there are others among you who actually are of that spirit that wants to control what others say if they disagree with them. But thanks be to God, at least so far, you can't muzzle Baptist pastors by simply calling something political speech. Nice try. People like Jeremiah Wright, Reverend Jackson, who's that Muslim nut that thinks Obama's the coming of Christ? Farrakhan, I believe that's the one. You ever notice that no one ever challenges these guys on the issue of separation of church and state? Have you ever wondered why? You see, this only comes up when a conservative preacher speaks out. That's partly because many conservative Christians believe in separation of church and state, and those who don't actually really even believe in it try to use that to muzzle you. Why don't you wake up? But some of you have sleepily allowed the worldlings, the secular humanists, and the liberal Christians to change the meaning of that expression into the separation of church from the state. Furthermore, the only way you can effectively separate church from state would be to do gross violence to the whole concept of liberty and freedom of speech and of religion. And here's another kick in the head. Let me ask you a question. What is the more precious liberty, religious speech or political speech? Do you think you can separate them? Do you really think you can deny someone the freedom to speak his mind on political issues just because he happens to have a religious perspective on those issues? What's the matter for you? You don't know what spirit you're of. Anyway, without abrogating any rights or privileges enjoyed by all persons and corporations in the U.S. of A., religious or otherwise, let me make it clear. The Lighthouse Baptist Church does not endorse candidates. Furthermore, though I'm pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, the opinions I express on the Brain Massage Show are my own. Now, some of you folks just don't get it. I have people in my church who disagree with me on some political issues. And you know what? We get along just fine. So what's your problem? We believe in liberty, don't you? Freedom of speech, don't you? Freedom of conscience, don't you? Free association, don't you? No one joining our church has asked whether or not he supports this or that candidate. We certainly require folks to profess agreement with our statement of faith, but not with anybody's political platform. Nevertheless, where politics intersect with faith, we insist upon the right to speak to it. Freedom and liberty are moral concerns that intersect faith concerns. All laws arise within the context of some moral milieu, and morality is our business. So, for the record, the opinions expressed on this radio show are not the opinions of Lighthouse Baptist Church, Inc., but Lighthouse Baptist Church supports my right to express those opinions and agrees that we need such a voice in the public debate today. My name is Jerry Scheidbach. I am a Baptist pastor, and I get to have political opinions, and I've got them. I get to express them publicly, and I do. The fact that, in general, the so-called clergy have abandoned the political sphere to the devil and his crowd, ha ha, well, that's their problem. It has not always been like that. Pastors used to lead the debate on the sort of questions we argue today in the public square. Many of the signers of the Declaration were ministers, my friend. Today, most clergymen would proudly withdraw from signing such a document because they would deem it too political. Not me, buddy. I'm in the fight. And I'm swinging the sword of truth against the devil of lies and deceit. Look, if you don't like my opinions, I'm very sorry to hear it. I would be glad to discuss them with you. We can meet in open public debate if you like, but I will not sit idly by and let you or anyone else manipulate the legal system or the minds of my friends to deprive me of my rights. I know exactly what my rights are, and I'm ready to defend them. I can almost hear some Newcart spineless Christianette sputtering about me not being very Christian. Well, that's not like Jesus. You know what? You don't even know what you're talking about. Paul was illegally beaten by the Apostle Paul, by the way, is in the Bible. Remember that book? Paul was illegally beaten and thrown into jail by Roman magistrates. When Paul informed these characters of his rights as a Roman citizen, and they discovered Paul did indeed have those rights, well, they decided real quick to back off, and so they sent someone to have Paul and his company released from jail. And Paul said, hold on, not so fast. That's a paraphrase, by the way. These characters had us beaten and jailed, violating our rights. I therefore demand that the magistrates come personally to release us publicly. What was he doing? Protecting his rights and the rights of others. So I don't know what kind of Christian you think you are, But it's clear that the Bible has not shaped your idea of what it means to be a Christian. It's been shaped, you don't understand this, but it has been shaped by secular humanists that have contrived a lie that you should recuse yourself from the public debate because religion has no part in that debate. Really, nothing could be farther from the truth. But anyway, your idea of what it means to be Christian has not been shaped by the traditions of the scripture or of our history, but by the contrivances of secular humanists and modernists. You've been duped. And the only reason you stay duped is because, you see, listen, going along with that lie, you can continue being friends with the world. Otherwise, you'd have to take up the reproach of the cross and bear the persecution from the worldlings. Yeah, don't you see it? You've made a truce with the world. And according to the word, that makes you the enemy of God. Do you hate me because I tell you the truth? Okay, so now that we've made all this clear, let me tell you what I think of the president's alleged state of illusion speech. Or should I say the state of delusions speech? I wonder which it is. It certainly wasn't the State of the Union speech. It didn't reflect anything at all on the actual State of the Union. I think the rebuttals that have been offered cover the speech very well. The divisiveness of this president has been noticed by many, and it was on full display in this speech, let me tell you. And by the way, I have his permission to point this out. Yeah, he told us right there in the speech. He said, you can call this class warfare all you want. Okay, I call it class warfare. Any honest assessment of his speech must include a notice that he was beating the drum of class warfare. But there are a few things I noticed in his speech that I did not hear addressed. Maybe they were, but I just didn't catch it. And I want to speak to it today. Alas, however, I'm going to have to go to a break. When I get back, I'm going to apply my own unique powers of analysis upon the state of delusions speech. Your brain massage will continue in a moment.
Heroes are made, not born. At Lighthouse Baptist Church, we're helping families make heroes with our Heroes of the Faith Sunday School, a character-building program that will have an impact on the life of your child that you will notice at home in their improved attitude and character. Call 888-770-8000. Say, I want my child to be a hero. Leave a number where we can reach you. There's no charge for this program. Call 888-770-8000 today. Do you want ministry that makes a difference? If you answer yes, you need a church ministry that makes a difference. Lighthouse Baptist Church makes a difference in people's lives. Lighthouse Baptist Church is shining the light of God's truth to help guide families safely through the moral fog of religious liberalism to the safe harbor of God's truth. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheinbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter here. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. So, Santorum called global warming a hoax. Way to go, Santorum. You know what? I think I've forgiven Santorum for the specter of specter. I've heard and seen enough now to believe that he is a sincere conservative. He's been consistent, you know. As for Newt, he's flipped around almost as much as Romney has. We will do an analysis of all that in another show, but I think Rush has read it right when he observed that Newt is resonating with most conservatives, in spite of the other problems, because it's clear to them that Newt, is sincerely defending conservative ideals and passionate about them, while Romney, it seems obvious, his only passion is winning the election. In other words, at a certain level of character on the question of flipping around on issues, there are some similarities between Newt and Romney. Both have an opportunistic inclination, and both will tend to accommodate their immediate audience to win them over. I'm talking about a level of comparison that goes beneath the surface stuff. I mean that both of these candidates have a history of political opportunism, insincerely saying what will garner them favor. The difference is what we know is the actual core belief of these two men. We know that when Newt's being insincere, it's when he's trying to be moderate or liberal. Whereas when Romney's being insincere is when he's trying to be conservative. Now we know at the core of Newt, you find genuine Reagan conservative principles. And we know at the core of Romney, you find squishy, leftward-leaning, blue-blood moderate Republicanism. Anyway, many are convinced a vote for Romney is a vote for Obama. Others say a vote for Newt is a vote for Obama. I've been watching this game for a lot of years now. I'm going to tell you something, and you pay attention. When the moderates hate someone as much as they hate Newt, it reminds me of Reagan. When the Dems and the moderate Republicans all agree that Newt must not win the primary, and they go all out in full assault mode to stop it, almost going hysterical, well, you can bet it's because Newt is seen as a threat to them. Newt is the threat to the establishment GOP and to the Dems. Romney is not. Take it for what it's worth. Anyway, I want to get back to Obama's State of Delusions address. As I said, many have offered very good rebuttal to the inanities of the speech. I thought Daniels did a very good job, and I thought McCain did a good job of examining Obama's speech. But there are a few things I noticed that it seems no one else has. At least I didn't catch anybody addressing these things in their commentary. First, did anyone else notice how much of this speech was dedicated to instructing Congress what bills he wanted them to send him? I mean, it's as if he was conducting a staff meeting and giving out his assignments. Along the same lines, did anyone else notice the arrogant tone throughout the speech? President Obama strikes me as a very arrogant and prideful man. And then this, anytime Obama identifies a problem that needs to be addressed, his solution? Build additional layers of bureaucracy. At least two new task units are called for in this speech. It was a financial crimes unit and a trade enforcement unit. So he sees a problem, defines a problem, says, let's create more bureaucracy to address it. It's unbelievable, this guy, that we have organizations in place to take care of crime. We don't need to create new units to do it. And did you catch the part about getting authority from Congress to bring all bureaucracies under tighter control of the White House? Oh, my soul. Quote, that's why I've asked this Congress to grant me the authority to consolidate the federal bureaucracy, end quote. Now, by the way, if they don't give him the authority, he'll do it anyway. This might have been one of the scariest moments in the speech. He talks like a modern dictator, paternal, populist, constantly promising to take care of us. And now he wants Congress to give him the authority to consolidate the federal bureaucracy. That means he wants more direct and personal control over every department of government. I mean, the very spirit of this man is contrary to the spirit of our founders. They wanted checks and balances, separation of powers, principles that are important to keep any individual from amassing enough power to take away our liberties or to be a threat to the liberties of the people. Hey, give me a call and answer a question for me. I don't remember any president before Obama who used the State of the Union address to instruct Congress what legislation he wanted them to send him. Maybe they have. I don't know. If you remember this coming from past presidents, call me, let me know. Maybe I missed it. Perhaps this just stands out with me on this president because of the overall paternal sort of lecturing tone he uses in all of his speeches. Doesn't that bother you? That's offensive to me. Over and over, this guy is telling Congress, send me a bill. Send me this bill or that bill. What's that about? The Congress isn't there to do your bidding. Obama is regularly complaining about the tone in Washington, but I have never heard a more condescending, arrogant. And again, and this pretty well sums it up for him. He's paternal and lecturing. I guess some people like that. I mean, there are a lot of folks in our country who grew up without a father figure in their lives. Maybe there are enough people out there who gravitate toward this kind of thing, hoping to find a father in Obama. God, how pathetic. I don't know if Obama's delusional or illusional. I mean, does he actually believe this? That things have gotten better during his presidency? During his usurpation of the office? Or is he simply hoping he could create a sufficiently powerful illusion to keep people from seeing the truth? I mean, either way, here's the truth. I mean, we can analyze this much more further, but just a couple of simple observations. When Obama came to office, we were paying, what, $1.79 for gas? And of course, those my friends who live with me here on the Central Coast laugh at that. We consistently pay, what, 50 to 75 cents more per gallon than anybody else in the nation, it seems like, or even we pay more anyway. Today, we're paying, what, $3.59. I'm using national average numbers. So from $1.79 to $3.59, that's almost 100% increase. And then he insults us by banning offshore drilling for our own oil, while at the same time giving Brazil $5 billion of our money to develop their offshore oil, telling them he wants us to be their best customer. But he has to study the matter carefully before he can approve a pipeline from Canada that will help us, allow us to buy oil from our neighbor here just north of us, that would have provided tens of thousands of jobs that have helped our economy. But what does he have to study? Oh, that's right, of course. He has to wait till Soros gives him the permission. Yeah, Soros has got to look into this to make sure that the oil from Canada won't get in the way of what he's trying to do there with Brazil. Yeah, so I'm sure Soros had to get back to him, and he didn't have enough time to get the study done, see, on how Canadian oil might impact his plans for Brazilian oil. Why don't you wake up? More Americans are living in so-called poverty today than ever before. The poverty rate has increased by 9.5% since he has been in office. Yeah. And he's still pointing his finger at Bush. It's so cowardly. And the libs are constantly harping. You probably heard this over and over. Failed Republican policies of the past. The failed Republican policies of the past. Well, he followed those policies. Yeah, I'm counting on the general intelligence of the voters in this country to see through this illusion. Come on. Listen, the only Republican policies that have failed are those that were agreed to by progressive Dems, or policies that were that amounted to certain moderate-inclined Republicans agreeing with the Dems. I'm so sick of this pack of lying jackals. Let me get some honesty back in this debate. Every one of the so-called failed Republican policies the MSM harps about are policies that lefty Dems promoted, encouraged, developed even. And when Obama got in office, he followed the same failed policies. Only now he can blame Bush for them. It's just, I tell you, the Bible tells us, Bible Thump Alert! The Bible tells us Satan, that devil, is a wily, clever creature. And my, how cleverly they lie. Let it be stipulated here that there are enough Republicans who are squishy-headed liberals at heart so that you Dems are able to pull this deceitful little trick and get away with it for a while. But more and more of us are waking up, and we're watching. And we're marching to the polls this November. It's going to be a ballot box revolution. The counter-revolutionaries have finally awakened the patriots of the original revolution, I hope. Listen, my friends, the MSM, mostly stupid media. There's something called the lamestream media. Anyway. I say they're the Marxist socialist media. But anyway, they're saying over and over again, failed Republican policies. Yeah, a bunch of liars. Every one of the Republican policies that failed are liberal policies. Really, they want to be honest, they should say failed liberal policies. The Republican policies that have hurt our country are the same policies Obama has used to bring our country to ruin and disgrace. Well, anyway, the president's State of Delusions address did not give him any kind of bump at the polls. That's interesting. Even HuffPost admits his campaign stump, State of the Union address, did not give him a bump in the polls. So they're all talking about, you know, such a bump's really illusory anyway. And the State of the Union bump in the polls myth, ad nausea. You know, if there was a bump, they would have trumpeted it from now till November. Yeah. These people are either the most self-deceived people you can imagine, or they are so blinded by the father of lies, they no longer know the difference between truth and fiction. Anyway, as I have said, I think that you will notice as we move forward in this election cycle that more and more the issue of the Constitution and the Declaration will take center stage. Listen, I'm telling you, you make this all about the economy, and you are likely to lose to Obama. You make this election about the Constitution, about our inalienable rights, about the Declaration, and Obama's going to go down in flames because he cannot defend his record on that score and really can't defend it on the economic score either. But I'm going to do a whole show on why that's not going to work for you. Anyway, because he cannot defend his record on the Constitution and his attitude toward the Declaration, that's his vulnerable spot. That's his Achilles heel, my friend. If he was forced to admit in public what he actually believes about the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and the core and fundamental principles of this government and of our culture and our society, there are still enough people in America who believe in the founding principles to rise up and throw him out of the Oval Office. And if he attempts to sound like a constitutionalist, he's going to come off as phony as he is. Anyway, it's time for this nation to have a renewed discussion about the fundamentals of our rights. I mean, a new Federalist Papers need to be written with a focus on the question of the relationship between the Constitution and the Declaration. You know, the Constitution is the original contract with America, and Obama has broken that contract on several points, and he needs to be fired. I thought Santorum did a great job in this last debate articulating some basic truths regarding our Constitution, that it is a document that organizes the government to protect the rights articulated in the Declaration. You must not allow them to separate the Constitution from the Declaration. And by them, I mean Obama and his ilk, the Alitsky crowd, the Marxists. You must not sit back and say nothing when we elect to office men and women who are so ignorant of our founding principles, or they can't even correctly quote the most fundamental truth that defines what it means to be American. All men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Are you crazy? How could you support for the office of president a man who is so ideologically opposed to the core principle of what it means to be American, the founding ideal of this nation?